going under the hood to deep dive into certain aspects of what's going on in the NFL today. And today we have a special guest on. We've got a man with 11 years of pro football experience as it comes to being not only playing, but being a coach, being a scout, being in front office, being in management. He was the Arena Football League board of directors. This dude's done so much. He's a quarterback trainer up in Denver, so he advises so many different athletes. He's got about 26 different NFL athletes and coaches under his agency.
What did he teach you?
What did he teach me?
Yes.
Man, I don't know, man.
How to dress?
He made me a cool guy. So, I really appreciate everything he's done for me, but not only what he's done for me, but what he's done for Colorado sports, and for especially quarterbacks. And this is a very special segment. So I'd like to introduce Warren McCarty. We'll give a little golf clap from my man, Warren. What's going on? It's great to see you. What's going on with you?
Well, appreciate the intro. Man, you hopefully you'll be eulogizing me at my funeral here in like 40 years or something, maybe. Kind of like a special guy. It's great to see your face. Glad to be part of Pat and Go. This is a really exciting project that you've taken a deep dive into, and I appreciate you having me on.
Of course. So I want to kind of get right into some things. You being a quarterback coach, I know I've seen you work with countless big time quarterbacks to get them right when it comes to footwork, when it comes to throwing motion, whatever it is. And then also working on young men and then becoming, growing into men when it comes to being respectful, being able to handle yourself during adversity. When it comes to what you've already done, what do you see from the young quarterback class that we have currently in the NFL?
Man, that was so hotly contested and debated, the entire draft process, and how one man's trash can be another man's treasure, and yeah. The humans evaluating humans element has always fascinated me, and I lived it. But I never understood why anybody doubted Mac Jones, simply because he was running pro-style NFL stuff in an NFL-type environment and producing kind of in the same way that Joe Burrow had done the year before in a very similar system and a very similar environment. That thing I never understood. I understood why people wanted to, critique Zach Wilson and some of the other guys, but the Mac Jones stuff was always mysterious to me because I was like, he's doing what you want the guys to do at the next level already.
Yeah.
What is the mystery? Clearly he can get it done.
So you definitely believe that the Mac Jones, because I know we debated a little bit last week about Mac Jones being named or being the starter, cutting Cam. I know I got a chance to play with Cam. I thought he was an excellent quarterback. Yeah. But Mac Jones, you're saying Mac Jones, he looks like this is the real deal, and him being shaped with Belichick can be something that's special for New England?
Well, I think so for a couple of reasons. I'm really good friends with Jim Nagy, who runs the Senior Bowl. During Senior Bowl week, he's texting me saying, Mac Jones is teaching guys stuff here. Like the coaches aren't teaching Mac anything. He's teaching the other players.
Wow.
So right then, that was like, okay.
That's huge.
What I thought I was seeing is now coming true because he's out teaching other stud senior players stuff. When Jim Nagy's telling me the coaches aren't teaching him anything, he's got this. He's teaching players. To me, that was a big sign. And then the similarities between Coach Belichick and Coach Saban in terms of their approach, their demeanor, that wasn't going to be foreign to Mac Jones. Running pro-style stuff, being around other elite athletes. I mean, think about that being the quarterback at Alabama. You got running backs that want touches. You got tight ends that want touches. And you always have more than one elite receiver.
Right.
There's already those NFL-style pressures of he needs the ball, he needs the ball, we got to get him involved, et cetera. So to me, I just never felt like any of this was going to be cumbersome or Mac being in a situation where everything felt foreign. This is really just an upgrade over what he'd been doing.
Okay.
The other guys may be a little different.
So when it does come to the best quarterback, in your mind, the best quarterback that we were able to get in, that was able to get picked in this draft, the title belongs to Mac Jones?
No.
No? Who's that title belong to? I've been wanting it's to
Justin
see
Fields.
And with another one we debated. I've been wanting to see Justin Fields. Last week we threw a flag on the Bears for not.
Well, they did integrate him.
They
though.
Did. They yeah. did have him. So, they well, did have him play, and he scored both. And he scored
both the
early touchdowns for him. So I thought Justin Fields was a guy who should be playing right away. And I made the point that I don't want Andy Dalton to be the starter. He's temporary. And if I'm in that huddle, I don't want somebody that I know is going to be temporary. And I don't think the quarterback, I don't think he can play to the level that you know he can play at when he has the threat of if he makes a bad pass or if he doesn't get his team down the field, he's getting yanked from a quarterback's position. How do you feel?
I think Justin Fields is an elite athlete.
Yeah.
He has clean mechanics. Mm. To me, that's very important. That's one of my big red flags on Zach Wilson and some of these other cats. He has a nice quick release. He already dealt with some extreme adversity when he was at Georgia and had the racial incident, which ultimately led him to transfer to Ohio State to begin with. So he's already had a highly publicized incident, so to speak, that he had to deal with some adversity and like public pressure. And then he goes to Ohio State. He showed me toughness more than once, where I saw him take a beating and continue to play, even like in a losing effort. So to me, that's one of those boxes that has to be checked. But also, he did it from the pocket. It wasn't always scrambling, running around stuff at Ohio State. He would drop back and dice you up, the clean mechanics. But adding that ability with 4.4-ish speed to take off and hurt you if you want to drop 8 in coverage, or, he escapes and, finds some room. He's lethal, whereas a Mac Jones, maybe wouldn't be. And I just think he has some intangibles. I'm good friends with Tony Alford on staff at Ohio State. He's been raving about the kid for 3 years. I think Justin Fields adds an element with his legs that I think would serve a team well that maybe doesn't have an elite left tackle or doesn't have an elite offensive line. If things break down, Justin Fields can hurt you.
Right.
But to me, what I love is he has clean mechanics, put up numbers, extremely tough.
Only a matter of time before he's starting, right?
Yes.
Only a matter of time.
Only a matter of time.
So the guys who are starting this weekend, we've got Mac Jones and Zach Wilson going head-to-head this weekend. What do you expect to see from those two quarterbacks? Obviously, the Jets have some growing to do. I liked what I got to see from Zach Williams in the second half of his game against the Panthers. So what do you expect to see in that game?
Sam Darnold 2.0. Zach Wilson is going. He's going to rip 3 or 4 balls where you're just like, "Oh my gosh, did you see that throw?"
Yeah.
But he drifts in the pocket.
Mm-hmm.
He has slow feet in the pocket, and he has that long baseball windup, outfielder windup, exactly like Sam Darnold had, and that's what got Sam Darnold in trouble over and over with the Jets. You're a receiver in the NFL, Paul. You know the timing on that.
Yeah.
10-yard speed out, the 15-yard speed out, the pro style out. You stick your toe in the turf and your head turns, you're expecting the ball.
100%.
He's a hair late because of the long windup, and that's going to cause picks. There are some incredible throws that come with that windup, but he's got bad footwork in the pocket, has a long windup, so his brain will tell him the right thing, where to go with the ball. But the difference is against, I don't know, who BYU played, against Utah or
right.
Central Florida or somebody like that, that ball is complete. In the National Football League, you got a dude running the other way, waving at his mom on the big screen.
Throwing up the peace sign, right?
That's what they get. Subtly now, because we don't talk about this. Subtle peace sign. But they got a younger version of Sam Darnold with the identical mechanics, identical bad footwork, identical in that he drifts to the left on 5-step drops from the gun. it's the same guy. To me, it's bizarre that the Jets went that route.
And less of a running game to back him up, too. So they're going to struggle.
Yes.
Yeah.
This is a history repeating itself in New York. So I would expect the Jets to come out with a win on this. The Patriots come out with a win on this. For sure.
Okay, definitely. And then we got to see on Thursday night, we got to see the Giants, the Redskins. Real quick, Daniel Jones. I would love to see him play good. Danny Dimes, he did play a good game. Limited the turnovers. Heinicke was able to play, just make the plays when it needed to happen. They still, Giants probably still should have won the game, not jumping off sides during that field goal kick. But what do you see from Daniel Jones and Heinicke? What was your take from that Thursday night game?
I'm not big on social media. I have a Twitter account. I keep seeing this Danny Dimes stuff that you just referenced. who came up with that?
It's New York.
Okay, New York. Okay, no. I'm not buying into Danny Dimes. I think he's Danny Clipboard. Okay? He's Danny Clipboard with a pencil, not even a pen. He's one of those guys that, like, high school level, looks beautiful in 7-on-7.
Yeah.
Get him out there in the real game. It's a little bit hit or miss. He did play much better last night than he did against the Broncos the week before.
Yeah.
I just think he's okay.
Yeah.
And I think right now in the National Football League, because the pass rushers are so elite, because the athletes on the defensive side of the ball are incredible, because those windows are so small, and because so much of current NFL passing game is about rhythm, and then if things break down, what can you do?
Yeah.
I think it's important for people to recognize, is the dude that's playing quarterback special or not?
Right.
Your boy Danny Dimes is not special.
He holds on to the ball. Everything that you just mentioned, he holds on the ball too long, and all those things you just mentioned goes right into why it can be a very mediocre play that you see from Danny Dimes.
Consistently throws behind the play.
Yes, because he's holding on to the ball for too long. Mm-hmm. So I want to jump into one more thing. So your son, I love your kids, Blazing Blitz, and Blitz's favorite quarterback I know is Aaron Rodgers. Yep. And Aaron Rodgers went through a whole tumultuous, how do I say that?
Tumultuous.
There we go.
Tumultuous.
Yeah. There it is. Hey, I swear I graduated from college. So he had a really rough offseason. When it comes down to how it is in that locker room, do you feel like it was one game? And Aaron Rodgers said it was one game, them getting blown out by New Orleans, who's not a bad team at all. Can that team be – I was my Super Bowl pick. Can that be a team that can take it deep into the playoffs, get into the Super Bowl, even dealing with some of these off-the-field issues and, Aaron Rodgers kind of being so vocal about how unpleasant it was for him to be in Green Bay this past offseason?
What happened years ago, remember there was a Monday Night Football game, Patriots played the Chiefs, and Tom Brady threw like 5 picks, and they got blown out.
Yeah.
The next day, the headlines out of the Boston media and ESPN, everybody was like, he's old, he ain't got it anymore, this is the downfall of the Patriots. I think the dude's won 3 or 4 rings since that game.
Mm.
The last dude on the planet I'm trying to doubt right now is the guy with the bad ponytail. Aaron Rodgers he's incredible. He played like crap. His team played like crap. They came out flat. They got punched in the mouth and didn't have an answer. There are 16 more games. Mm-hmm. And I think it's going to be fine, just like it was fine when New England had a bad day.
Mm. Okay. Now, that makes me feel good.
There are issues.
Yeah.
And I admire the fact that Aaron Rodgers brought it to everybody's attention and wasn't afraid to really talk about it. I'm not doubting that, man. You're going to have to prove it to me that something's off there. But this is a team who went to the NFC title game without a lot surrounding him. And until over the course of an entire season, he's proven to not be what he's supposed to be. My money's on Aaron Rodgers.
I like it. It makes me feel good. It was my Super Bowl pick. He is our last year's MVP in the NFL. I don't want to doubt the man. I read somewhere that he currently, his image, he looks like Nicolas Cage playing Aaron Rodgers in a Tom Brady movie. So that's what he looks like right now. And I'm not going to doubt Nicolas Cage, Aaron Rodgers. Warren, thank you so much for coming on. We had an excellent time talking with you. Your insight is unbelievable. I hope the listeners are able to pull from that and be able to make some educated picks coming up soon for the games that are going to be at 11. So
I'll be honest, it enlightened me because I was doubtful about these guys coming out of college being ready to play the pro game.
Yeah, so Warren, I'm telling you, he'll drop some knowledge on you. So Warren, thank you again so much for coming, and
thank you, Paul.
And we appreciate you.
Good to
meet you on Zoom.
Yeah.
Likewise.
Perfect, perfect, perfect.
All right, you're listening to Pat and Go on KPPF. Now, as we go under the hood, we are going to talk to a special guest. I am so honored to have him on here. This is some real this is big time star status here, okay?
Former Pittsburgh Steeler and Tampa Bay Buccaneer. Let us welcome Anthony Trunks.
Okay, you forgot watching the Reds. Well, now watching the football team, but I'll let it go. I'll let it ride.
Definitely. So, on top of being a former NFL linebacker, I mean, we're talking American Ninja Warrior. We're talking international speaker. You also host a podcast, All Shift. I said shift, yep. Y'all. I said shift. also the founder of Identity Shift Coaching. Hmm. Now, you were on Good Morning America just recently?
I was, man. Look at you doing your research.
Look, man, I do my homework, man.
Yes, I was on GMA. I got to hang out with those people in the morning.
How was that experience?
That was really pretty cool. I'm not going to lie. It was professional because what they do, but it was a good like 5 minutes of time. I'm not going to lie. At the end, she goes, I really liked his voice. I could listen to him talk all day. And that was all I needed for the episode. Done.
you just
forget about the book I was talking about.
My work is done here.
So just take that little splice, that little part of what she said. I could listen to him all day, put it at the intro. Definitely. But this book, the book you have coming, tell us a little bit about it.
Yeah, the book came out August 24th. It's called Identity Shift Upgrade, How You Operate to Elevate Your Life. And it's giving people a look behind the scenes as to why identity is so paramount to success and how to shift it.
And Anthony, when you say identity shift, can you please explain what is it you mean by that? I find this topic fascinating.
Me too. It's why I write about it, man. It's so at the end of the day, I find we're in this world where everybody knows a lot of stuff and has access to it at your fingertips. However, we don't have more success. In fact, we have more unhappiness. And so I was like, well, what's the separation? What's the difference? And I find it's not what you know, but who you are with what you know. And so when we go to the core of us, and it sounds like philosophical, esoteric, it's really not. If you think about it, every day our life is built through micro actions, what we do, what we say, how we handle things. And a lot of those are unconscious. We just do it. Right, we call it habits, we just do it. Reality is like it's part of who you are based on how you believe, how you see things. So if you can go and control this thing that's controlling you, identity, change your life. And so when I look at shifting it, it's saying, hey, who have I been up to now and who do I want to become for the future? And then we kind of dial it back and walk you through how you do that.
I feel like that's something that's huge for like everybody can take that in their own aspect, but definitely when we talk about, you know, Pat and Go, this is a football podcast, but when you talk about football players from the high school level, college, all the way up to the pro level, that is something that I feel like we all have to deal with when the time comes, when it's, hey, you are not a football player anymore. And it is such a tough shift. It's tough to go, okay, I've been doing this my entire life. Right. I'm this person.
No, I can't.
Now I'm not. Where do I go from here?
Stuff, man. And the thing is, while it's a football podcast, everybody has life that lives this way. Like it's an interesting shift into it, because when you're first a kid, you don't believe like I'm a football player until you're just dope, like Paul Browning. And then all of a sudden you play the game, and then the game leaves you and you're like, well, who am I without this thing? And this happens if you leave the military, send a kid to college, you leave a job, get a new job. It just happens. And at that moment you can't do that thing anymore, we were met with, well, who in the world am I without this? And then the actions adjust. The life goes downhill sometimes, right? But those who take advantage of understanding that, hey, I've already done this before. just did it accidentally and took the long, hard, and more costly way. When you take control of it, man, you can actually create whatever you want in life. So, yeah, everybody battles with this. A lot of athletes do, because when you can't play the game, it sucks, man. It just overall sucks.
Yeah, no. So even with going, I want to backtrack a little bit more, go a little bit more into your life, your story a little bit. I know you've been able to share this story with so many different people, changed a lot of different lives. Tell us a little bit about your background, getting into the NFL, dealing with injuries, and getting into now you're helping so many people with your coaching, with Identity Shift.
Yeah, man. So I guess the football thing was one that was a long shot for me as a kid. I was given into foster care. So I grew up in a really heinous, difficult situation. Grew up in a really poor area. Was the only black person in an all-white family. Adopted at 14, so 11 years in the system, but given away at 3. And so I just kind of had a lot of things to kind of sift through. Eventually found my way in football, found myself, we'll call it, and found a way to build up this guy to where I felt like the football player, which transitioned into college football, did well, had a kid at 20 years old, met my real dad at 21, played, actually started my true sophomore year at Oregon, so I found a way to like beat out the fifth year senior. So like I built, man, and then I got to the point where I got blessed with the NFL, and then NFL, as you know, not for long. You get in, you get hurt, you get out. And so in my third year, man, tore my shoulder, came home, and had a massive crisis and lost a lot of myself. But that, dude, that journey was one of multiple levels of who in the world am I? How do I show up for this? And that was just a kind of like the story of my life, which is, I think, why when I left the game and my life came tumbling down, I was suicidal, divorced, 3 kids, you know, just all this craziness, that I looked in and was like, man, it's not a matter of what I know, because I know what to do. We all know what to do, right? But I wasn't doing it. I was like, why can't I? And I didn't feel like the guy who did those things. And so I had to go back to the drawing board and build that guy. The more I built that guy, the more I found like, hey, this is something that more than just me of humans is dealing with. And if I could find a way to codify it and then teach it, I could help people. And so it's what I did, man. So it's become this kind of labor of love and a journey of weird. Like it's interesting to go through and go, you know what? All the hard stuff that I experienced, I didn't like it, but it's useful now. Like I hated all of it at the time, but now I can do something with it. And that's kind of how I've lived my life in a way where I can actually go back to companies like T-Mobile, PayPal, and Amazon and coach and teach their people and everybody how to make these shifts and build a cool life.
And Anthony, you also were talking to Paul and you mentioned, you know, once an NFL player, now you're not an NFL player. That's an identity. But something that came into my mind was that could also affect someone who maybe lost a significant other. Maybe you lost a spouse or something like that. I mean, and your identity was so bonded to that person. So what you're teaching people has so many different aspects and ways to move forward.
100%. I mean, to be honest, I don't actually target or you know, focus my efforts towards just athletes, because I mean, athletes were people. We just have a different job, you know, a different experience. But you're right. Literally anytime something happens by choice or by chance that upsets or shifts your life out from underneath your feet, you are met with this moment of, what in the world do I do? Can I do it? You know, is this something I'm going to fall on my face? Like we get questions upon questions, and most of them aren't good. The majority of the questions, the majority of the assumptions are, you're not going to do well. And so we lead into our life with this energy, this heavy weight. And the reality is, we've already done well. Every single person who is living right now, listening to this, has survived 100% of their hard days. Everybody has, right? that basic knowledge, it's like, all right, well, what did I do to get here? And we all just think, oh, I just lucked into it. No, you didn't. It did something. And if you can go take a look at what that was, you can do more of it in the future to fix things.
So this had brought me to, you know, where you are at currently in your life. You're doing a lot of great things. You're really inspiring a lot of different people. What would be something if you could go back to young Anthony Trucks and just give him some advice, whether it was not on just life, if there was something you'd want to tell him a little bit about football, you know, I know for me, I
would not that he would actually listen.
I know for me, when it comes to being a younger, just at least to tell myself, you know, obviously football was important, but there's so much more, and I am so much more than a football player. Right. I would have told myself that at a younger age. But is there anything that you would have had to tell yourself at a young age?
There's a bunch of things I think I would have told myself, like, wash yourself, you stink. You know, I think there would have, I mean, here's my real honest. I think there's a part of me that goes back and goes, I think the things that we as kids don't like is difficult. You know, our parents and our coaches tell us to do the hard things. And we just become, we're combative, man. We don't want to do it. I got to do it my way. And the reality is, man, if you could just settle in and listen to the people who've been farther ahead. Just listen to the people, man. I think there's that missing gap. We've been doing this for thousands of years, and we've never figured out how do you get a teenager to listen to you. Like, yeah, of all the things we got, I could see you right now across the internet, but I can't get my son to do the dishes. You know? So there's this. If I could tell my son something, I'd be like, bro, just listen to the people who care about you, who respect, and let them guide you, man. Don't be this person that's got to solve the problem on your own.
Once again, we're listening to Anthony Trucks right now, former NFL linebacker, American Ninja Warrior. He's an author, podcaster, and inspirational speaker.
Obviously.
Yeah. Just doing so much. I do want to – we are in Bronco country, and this weekend we're – you know, we got the Broncos and the Steelers playing each other. Mm-hmm. So okay. Now you've come out to Colorado plenty of times with your work with the Pro Football Camp. I know we've had the same agent, but do you sway towards a certain team? Well, who do you got this weekend? Let's just leave it at that. Who you got this weekend?
First off, I'll answer the first question. Absolutely not, because I don't know, man. Once you get done with the game, the game's got done with you. You're not a big fan of everything. I love the game of football, but I'm a Duck fan. I'm an Oregon Duck fan. To where I went. Besides that, man, everybody else can. We're not going to use bad words on here.
I can edit you if I have to.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? I at the end of the day, man, I love my teammates, great coaches, but I've had my fun experiences in the league with management and the organizations, right? So leave it at that. Second, I'd like to lean towards the Steelers. Here's why. There's a guy on there, Najee Harris, who's a running back who's from my same high school, man.
Wow, yeah.
And, good human. He's a good dude, and he's a beast, but he's stiff-armed. He took somebody's soul against the Oakland Raiders, bro. They still lost, but he put that dude to sleep. There's no way he wasn't in
the room. Don't hurt my feelings, man.
Are you wearing a Raiders jersey?
He's wearing a Raiders jersey. He's a Raiders guy.
I was just out in Vegas when they were playing. No, man, I would put it on the Steelers. Now, here's the thing, though. This is the one caveat. I know nothing about the Broncos, which goes to tell me they're probably not doing very much. So I'm going to go ahead and go with the Steelers on this one.
Got it. Okay, I got it. Well, here, I'm going to let you know the Broncos are actually doing pretty good quietly. But
I
do want to touch on one thing, and I think it's really cool that you said that. It is real. When you leave the game, especially if you've been able to see the NFL, it's a little bit like a
glimpse behind the curtain.
And there's definitely – I know for me – I had to take almost 4 years away from the game to really like it again. And it wasn't probably until I was like, man, I think this would be a really cool show that we did, to where I really started to deep dive back into NFL and starting to kind of love it again. But I think that's one thing that NFL athletes really deal with, especially if you don't – and not everybody gets that sweet taste, that sweet ending. A lot of us, we retire, and there's not a whole ceremony going on behind us, and there's not a whole applause and standing ovation. A lot of us retire very quietly.
Yeah. Slide in the back room, man. I'm the same way. I didn't watch a game for 3 years. Mm-hmm. I'm just like, I don't want to do all this. Because part of me was like, I can do that. You know, like, there's part of that. But then there's something where, like, there's, 1,800-plus players at any given time. Name some. You know, like,
right,
that you could probably maybe name, I would give you 200. There's still 1,600 guys that no one knows their name. They're role players or doing their thing. So when they leave, no one notices. It was the guy in the back of the room that left, and nobody really left the room. He wasn't on stage, you know? So not a good or bad thing. It just is. It's just the reality of the game.
And it all comes full circle, because that's where the identity shift. We see a lot of that with football players. And I want to thank you for coming on and giving us time to talk with you and learn so much more about you.
This hit me up out of the blue. Like, he's like, hey, man, can you come on in like 6 hours? I'm like, what? Yeah, I run a tight ship, but I was like, I got you, Paul, man. Let's do this.
You know what? And let that speak to Anthony Trucks, the fact that it could be a short notice, and you know, he was right there and able to hop on for us. So
helping us shift identities.
Oh man, thank you so much. We really appreciate it. The book is out in stores right now.
Yep. Identityshiftbook.com.
Congratulations on your new book.
Thank you. Thank you.
All right. All right. That's going to do it for Under the Hood.
All right. You're all listening right. to Pat and Go on KPPF.
Welcome back to Pat and Go with Paul Browning. I am your host, Paul Browning. And now we are going to go under the hood. Today we got a special guest. We've got an excellent guest. Matter of fact, probably your favorite Bronco of all time.
Doesn't
all right.
get any better, does it?
It doesn't get any better. All right. When we look at the accolades, okay, we're looking at the all-time leading receiver for the Denver Broncos in receptions, yards, touchdowns, three-time Pro Bowler, two-time Super Bowl champion, Bronco Ring of Fame inductee. Everybody, welcome Rod Smith.
Hey.
Great
welcome,
to have
you. Thank you, guys. Yeah. I appreciate it.
Love it. Great.
I know you guys don't normally – I know y'all don't know look this good. Y'all got makeup and all that stuff. Y'all got wardrobe people. Light. I'm sitting at home. I'm sitting at home myself. I need to get some TV.
So this is Rod, I guess, seeing me first time close up, just this beautiful. So it's okay that we're there. So how you been? What's going on? What you been up to?
I'm good, man. You know what? Grandfather. And so, I always have my different businesses and stuff like that. But every morning I get up, make my grandson's breakfast, take him to school and all that stuff. So that's real important to me right now.
Grandpa Rod. I love that.
Yep.
That's a different ring there. No, yeah. So
beyond,
and you said a couple different businesses.
Absolutely.
Some of the guys in the office were still asking, like, can we still get some coffee?
Absolutely. I got you. No, Trust me, one of my mentors I was studying last night, he said, you pay bills every day, find a way to make money every day. So sell something every day. So coffee, I know for a fact, people are buying every day. So I'm making money every day.
100%. Go ahead and plug that. Go ahead and plug that.
I'm good.
One of the things, you know, you've done so much off the field. I know me growing up in Colorado Springs, I got to watch you on doing the Godfather pizza commercials and things like that. But really, a lot of this is everything we know. You've been able to get it because you were balling on the field. You came on, you know, right away, undrafted free agent, and you just made a name for yourself. So with that being said, was there a memorable game that maybe you had that sticks out in your mind when you look at your career?
You know what is crazy is the Broncos played was it Washington football team? They were the Redskins when I played. my first ever catch was a game-winning touchdown with no time on the clock against the Redskins. And so that was kind of a coming-out party, so to speak. But I really didn't make it there. It was just a moment. And everybody thought, oh, you're going to get a lot more chances. I didn't catch another pass for 7 weeks after that. So, you got to grind constantly. No matter what. I remember watching you in college because my son went to school at the same time you did. And I was always rooting for you. And I told you, hey, my phone was always open for you to give you that chance, the nugget that you need to go out there and live your dream as well.
Yeah, and I do appreciate that. I remember vividly we're getting ready to play the Bills. And it's my rookie year. And you sent me a text message to let me know, hey, man, like this is your opportunity. Make sure you run it down. Make sure you're special teams.
Yeah.
You are making plays on special teams because that's how they're going to love you. And I just always remember that. I'm really thankful for you in that situation. Guy, you had a question?
Yes, and he already addressed it because, correct me if I'm wrong, Rod, but I thought to that game I was there against Washington and the Broncos just happened to be playing Washington this week. So was that pretty much when you came out, so to speak, with that?
Yeah, you know what? It's crazy because – I'm doing an interview right after this one with Brian Mitchell, who hosts a show over in Washington. And Brian Mitchell killed us on special teams. I think he broke an NFL record against us. And I was on special teams, and we got ripped. But we won a game. And, what's his name? James Washington knocked out all of our receivers. So I had to play. I was the only one left, and that's what happened. It was awesome for me.
That's the best situation to be in. I will also say this, since we're bringing back memories, obviously it's not too much of a coincidence, or maybe it is a coincidence that you're mentioning that Broncos-Washington football team game, but also Halloween is coming up, and you have probably one of the greatest performances ever on Halloween. I don't know if you know that. You probably
have no idea.
You have one of the greatest performances in 2004. You guys played the Falcons. You had 9 catches for 200 yards.
I hit them for 200. I remember that.
You ran the ball. You had 2 punt returns. You had one of the greatest Halloween games that, you know, a receiver could have. Was there anything memorable or special about that moment? Or, you know, was it another day in the office? Or was it like, hey, you know, it's Halloween. A lot of people are watching. Let me turn up.
It wasn't special because of Halloween, because to me, I wasn't paying attention. All I remember is we lost. I remember that. I remember Michael Vick looked like a video game against our defense. You have 200 yards, you expect to win, and we end up losing. So I'm be honest, I was pissed. So that's probably why I don't remember that stat. I like wins. I keep up with the W's instead of the individual things. I need to use that in a trivia, though. That's a good stat.
There it is. So I'm glad we were able to cover that. You know, it's one thing for me and a lot of people in the building. We know you as the number 80 for the Denver Broncos. You are the number 80 here in Colorado. We love that. Now, you know, I know Guy said he should have wore a Rod Smith jersey. So he could be Rod Smith
today. Yeah.
when it comes to other people wearing number 80, who was your favorite number 80 besides yourself?
Man, of course, Jerry Rice. You got Chris Carter. And if I was knew you was gonna ask that question, I would have did this interview in my basement. Because in my weight room, I collected number 80s. Mm-hmm. I got Steve Largent up there. I got Henry Ellard up there. And I got Bones. Troy Brown up there. Yeah, I got some dudes, man. I got some what's my man, James Lofton. Hall of Famers. I got some Hall of Famers in there. It was awesome. I just collected guys that I thought played with heart and played with some fight. Wayne Corbett.
Yep.
I got Wayne Corbett on the wall. Yeah. Even the late, great Charles Johnson. He played for Detroit.
Yep.
Had a real tough career. But Plexico Bears, when he was number Earth, I got him on there. And there's a few guys I haven't got there I'm trying to get.
Well, speaking of which, I know that a couple of the young cats are really making some big plays. You speak at 80. I love Jarvis Landry. I think he's an excellent receiver. But are there any young receivers right now that you like get super excited about, super excited to watch, that you just I guess love to watch?
You know what thing is, the Broncos receivers I love to watch. Hopefully we get Jerry Jeudy back this week. Tim Patrick is one of my favorites. He's an undrafted guy, so I'm partial to Tim. But Cortland. I also like Devontae Adams. The dude is unbelievable. DeAndre Hopkins, unbelievable. I mean, there's so many guys now. They do stuff with that football, man, that's special. And they're playing with some good quarterbacks who say, hey, let me feed him and he'll make me look good as well. So I could go on the list, man. Odell Beckham, he's just been hurt the last few years. But if they can get that guy healthy, man, he's dangerous.
Definitely. Definitely. So just to transition into, I know you're talking about, you know, players being special, the Halloween topic, right? Some players can be a nightmare, right?
Yes.
Everyone's going to laugh.
Yeah.
Michael Vick was on us on Halloween.
Yeah, no, right? So I wanted to see if we could rank the nightmare, okay? So I'm going to give you a couple players, and I want you to choose between the two.
Do I need to take notes on this? I got a pen right here.
No, who's the bigger nightmare? And I'm going to start it off with Derrick Henry and Lamar Jackson. Who do you believe is the biggest nightmare?
Dude.
That's a
tough one. Wow. The only reason I'm going to say Lamar Jackson is because he touched the ball every time.
Yeah.
That's the only reason he's the problem. He always got the ball in his hand. Derrick Henry is doing some special stuff. And literally, they just got to give this guy the crown for what he's been doing consistently year after year. When you're a big back, carrying that many times, taking that many hits, but he comes back the next year better, I definitely got to take my hat off to him. Today's Terrell Davis' birthday, so running backs are definitely special in the NFL, and they're not built like TT and Derrick Henry is definitely built like that.
Definitely. Happy birthday to TD. Derrick Henry has almost 4,500 yards rushing since 2019.
Yes.
That's crazy.
He's a beast.
That's crazy. Okay, let's go Aaron Donald or Myles Garrett.
Aaron Donald.
Definitely.
Myles Garrett is scary, but Aaron Donald beats up three guys every play. Like every play, there's three guys assigned to this guy. And he still can't be stopped, man. It's crazy how he puts that work in. And you see his offseason resume, he shows it. And it's like, man, he goes out there and lives it every week.
Definitely. I will say this, Myles Garrett does lead the NFL in sacks right now with 9.5 sacks.
Yeah.
Passing leaders, okay? We got Derek Carr, we got Tom Brady, we got Matt Stafford, Kyle Murray, and Patrick Mahomes. Who's the biggest nightmare there?
I'm going with Tom. Uh-huh. And the only reason I'm going with Tom is because we used to beat him up. But Tom at 44 is leading the league, I think, in passing right now.
Yeah.
And he got 7 Super Bowl rings.
He's dangerous. So there's not much.
Tom is the most dangerous person in the NFL right now.
Yeah. Love it. And then this is one I wanted to kind of special for the receivers, right?
Okay.
Trayvon Diggs or Jalen Ramsey?
I'm going with Diggs.
You'll go with Diggs. Diggs has,
man,
what, 7 picks on the year right now?
What, 6 games? 7 games?
7 and, yep, 7 and 7.
But how many? They got like 2 or 3 touchdowns.
Yeah. Yeah. Diggs, Jalen Ramsey is still probably one of the better shutdown cornerbacks in the NFL, but I mean, Diggs is having an incredible year.
Especially for the first quarter of the season. I mean, the balls are going over there, and you see them going the other way quickly.
Yeah.
Hey, Rod, who are you most apprehensive about when going up against as a cornerback? Was there anybody in the league that gave you trouble?
Who I hated the most? Charles Woodson.
Oh, yeah.
The recent Hall of Famer. Yeah. Charles, I got like 9 guys I personally went against that's in the Hall of Fame. So I want to get some guys that were hungry. But the reason it was Charles, because Charles not only would cover, Charles would tackle on the run game. That's why when he switched to safety and he switched back, I mean, that dude was like every single snap. He never took plays off. I mean, I hated going against Champ Bailey when he was with the Redskins before he came to our team. But, I got Eric Allen. I got a whole bunch of dudes, man, that was beast. But Charles Woodson, with him being for the Raiders, and we played twice a year, it was a battle.
There's actually a super cool picture of you in Mile High lined up against Deion when Deion was the Dallas Cowboys. That's actually one of my favorite pictures of you.
See, we didn't play them all the time, though, so I'll give you a quick story. I was in the slot, and Deion was bumping me, man. You know how he does that quick jam?
Yeah.
I disappeared on him. I ducked that shoulder like I was trying to teach you back in the day.
Yeah.
And I took off on him, and I didn't get the ball. And I seen him running behind me. He said, boy, you got me. I said, if I could have got that one against that guy, hood legend right there. That's all I wanted. Forget the NFL. I want to be a hood legend. You beat me up, you're a hood legend.
And this is like 90, what is it, 98, 96?
Yeah, he was following me around the field.
Yeah.
And I was like, and he shot that arm, and I dipped on him and hauled. And then I looked up, like, oh, you see me in the back of the end zone. Mad I didn't get the ball. That's the only time I was mad I didn't get it back. Every time I'm really cool with whoever gets it.
Definitely. You're probably cussing out.
Oh, man. I knew what it meant.
Thanks, John.
It meant a lot more if you beat Deion.
Oh, 100%. 100%. Well, that's going to do it for Under the Hood, and we really appreciate having you on. This is such a big deal for us here at Pat and Go, and it's a big deal for me. I thank you so much for I'd send you a text message and you were right there on it and you were like, let's do it. Let's make this thing happen. So I really appreciate you. I know our viewers are really going to appreciate you. And just thank you so much for coming on to the show.
No, thank you, man. Send me those stats about Halloween because I'm going to post that.
100%.
Somehow I'm going to figure out that that was cool. I'm like, really? When you said the 500, I knew what my yardage was, but I didn't know that was on Halloween.
I got you, man. I got you, 100%.
I appreciate it. Thanks, guys, man. I appreciate you guys. And
thank you.
Tell y'all makeup artists just do a little bit more, get your hair.
Lighting, light over there, yeah.
It's unforgiving. No, thank you so much.
Appreciate y'all, man.
Of course. All right, we'll be right back with Pat and Go right after this break.
All right, you're all listening to Pat and Go on KPPF.
I do want to give a shout out to Castle Roofing, always being a great sponsor for us, and also Huntington Learning Center.
It's time to go under the hood. We're taking an in-depth look at the topics on and off the field that shape our game.
I was going to say a couple of Cleveland Browns here, man. It's great, great to be in between a couple of Cleveland Browns. Isn't that Mike?
Yes.
Isn't that great? Yeah. Although you guys never played together, right?
I tell you what, there's the relationship between me and Paul. I'll tell you the first time I ever met Paul, I'm at Wyfield Elementary. Okay. And I'm leaving out of the back of Wyfield Elementary because I live across the street. All right. That's one of the beautiful things I always loved, that I could look outside and see the football field. But right. When I'm walking out, there's this big high school student who looks like everything that I want to be. Right. You know what I'm saying? There's this big guy here, and I'm going, oh, man. And I'm just like, hey, like, you play high school, you play here, whatever. And he's like, yeah, you know, and you probably was like a freshman or a sophomore at the time. But I'm just like, man, yeah, like, what's like, nice to meet you. And then he told me his name was Paul.
Yeah, there
and
you
I was
go.
Like, you're Paul too?
Oh, man. Wonderful. Yeah.
He said, you're Paul, I'm Paul. So that's just one of the things. And then it just, I remember, you know, following Paul for such a long time. Went to Wyfield High School, was an all-state, I just learned yesterday that you basically would have been a top three. Your long jump or your triple jump would have been top three in college national championships when he was in high school.
Wow. Okay,
so this man was a crazy triple jumper, crazy long
Good
jumper.
Job, man.
But even with all that being said, was able to get himself to the NFL, drafted.
Well, congratulations to both of you guys for making it to the show. I'm serious.
Yeah,
you know, it's not easy to do.
Yeah, and both out of Wyfield High School. And, right. I mean, we've had our influence as well. Vince Jackson was such a big part of us coming up. But we'll get into that a little bit later. Yes. I do want to jump into your Springs guy. You were from Wyfield High School. What was it like heading off to Wisconsin? Usually we don't have as big of, you know, guys going to big schools like that. What was that like, man?
Man, that was huge for me. I got to tell you, I just did the podcast for the Believe in Badgers podcast for Wisconsin a couple of days ago, right?
Yeah.
And one of the things that we talked about with that was the fact that I was, you know, exceptionally talented in track and field. And so I definitely had my pick of which school I wanted to go to. My academics were good. So I could have went anywhere in the country. And one of the things that got me out to Wisconsin was the fact that they've got a stellar track and field program. Their football program, which was led by Barry Alvarez at the time, was very successful.
Yeah.
But they had phenomenal academics at that school. And I know football or sports in general do not last forever. Yeah. And as much as I've trained my body, I've also have to train my mind. You see what I'm saying? So I wanted to have that continuation. I was going to go to Miami.
I was good about this.
look here. Hey, we're from Colorado, right? I was like, man, we've been playing in the cold for quite some time.
Yeah.
I was like, man, I'm going to go to Miami, man. There's beach, waters, all that other stuff.
All the other stuff is the biggest distraction ever, right?
It is. You know, I like Bad Boys with Martin Lawrence and Will Smith. It's from Miami, so let's go there. My pops is like, you know what, Paul, you know, it's good to have aspirations like that and whatnot, but you have a very specific type of build. You're very unique here in Wyfield, Colorado, and Colorado in general. Yeah. You've said that before, and you're very unique as well, right?
Yeah.
So when you go to a place like Miami, you're going to go on a team where everybody looks like you.
Yeah.
Everybody can do the same things that you can do. So how long is it going to take for you to play?
Yeah.
You're right, Pop. You're right, Pop. So, you know, I went to – I only did two visits.
Yeah.
Nebraska was my first one.
Yeah.
Okay.
And then Wisconsin. And I verbally committed to Nebraska after I went. I watched them. I went to a football game while I was out there. I watched Nebraska play. It might have been Texas.
Yeah.
It was Texas. while I was out there, and I was like, man, yeah, I want to come here. I'm just looking at the atmosphere and whatnot. So I verbally committed, didn't sign anything. Mm. Came back home, trained, did my thing. Then I went out to Wisconsin.
Yeah.
It was the coldest day of the year in Wisconsin. Right. Let me tell you, the windshield was out of this world. Yeah. My whole face was raw. I'm coming back, Vaseline. Covering my entire face, trying to get
to try to keep the heat,
trying to keep the heat, but my face was so raw because the wind was hitting it.
Yeah,
and I got to hang out with not only the coaches but the players and the members of the track and field program. But it didn't stop there. It was crazy because there were members of the men's and women hockey team coming to say, "Hey, come to Wisconsin." The basketball program, soccer. I mean, some tennis players. Come on, man. I mean, the tennis.
They brought the truck.
They brought the red carpet out. I'm not even gonna lie, man. So it was the coldest day of the year.
I gotta ask you, did you ever consider Alabama? Because we were talking about Alabama.
I considered Arkansas. Oh. Mm. A little bit closer to Alabama. Yeah. The reason why I considered Arkansas was because Arkansas had one of the top triple jump programs in the country.
Oh, wow,
that's what they were known for.
Yeah.
And that was my niche.
Yeah.
That's what I was going to school to do.
Yeah.
You know. Potentially. So I did consider them.
Definitely.
I love the advice you were talking about your dad. I want to go back to that for just a moment. Growing up, did you guys go to watch games together? And the influence of your dad in your younger life?
My father and both my mom, they were Army. Okay. My father played on the Army basketball team. My father played sports his entire life, along with his four brothers, my four uncles. Sports thrived in our family, so it wasn't something that I was a stranger to, but I unfortunately started sports late in life. I caught the bug late. I mean, it was like middle school. I mean, by that time, everybody had been playing long before then, and so I'm just trying to fill it out now. But my father was always a major influence in my life, and he always gave me good advice, especially where I was coming up to like a crossroads type of scenario, and I didn't know really which way I should go. He didn't tell me where to go. It's kind of like how I treat my six-year-old daughter now. There's a whole lot of beautiful things to look at on the horizon and skyline and over there at the mountains. Oh. And there are so many different things out there. So I just point towards the mountains. I don't tell her what to look at. I just point over there like, hey, take a look. So she'll figure out what it is that she wants to focus on. Mm. And then when she focuses on that, then I say, hey, well, this is what that is. So the same thing translates over into life with my father. He never told me what it is that I need to like. He never told me what it is that I need to go towards. He said, hey, there's the world. Take a look at it. And so when I started to pick things out, he would explain it to me so that I could get it. You see what I'm saying?
That's excellent.
And so that continues even to this day.
Yeah.
My father, he lives 15 minutes from me. My mother's in town now. As a matter of fact, she's with my daughter at home now. My daughter's birthday was Wednesday.
Happy birthday.
Yeah, right?
Birthday, yeah.
So that influence that my father had was huge. He went to every single game, football, basketball. He was at every single track. I mean, he put me in traveling track club. He had to pay all kinds of money for it. It was expensive. I'm a big guy. You're a big guy, Paul. The stuff that we have to wear, it gets expensive. And you wear cleats out quick.
So you
always have to replace it. So my father was one of my biggest fans before I even had any fans.
Yeah.
When I was still trying to figure it out, my dad was like, I know what you can be. You're not there yet.
Yeah.
You're not going to get comfortable. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You're just going to keep working.
Right.
So that's part of the reason, like when I was like, hey, I'm going to go to Miami, Pop. He's like, no.
So just want to remind the viewers, we are talking with Paul Hubbard right now, former NFL wide receiver, Cleveland Browns, Oakland Raiders, Buffalo Bills. Now, I was listening to you on the podcast with Wisconsin. There was a chance where somebody was – I think one of your coaches was talking to you about track versus football – that kind of made you sway a little bit more towards, okay, I think I'm going to play football. Was there, am I mistaken, a little kind of the money type aspect behind it?
There was a monetary deal there. However, more so than the monetary aspect that I really didn't get the time to explain in that podcast was the, how should I say it, the aura surrounding a football player versus the aura surrounding a track and field athlete. Track and field is huge when it comes to the Olympics. Now the whole world is watching.
Right.
track and field, and they're cheering for him because you got countries backing you.
Right.
You have whole entire countries backing you, and they want to see you win because they want to see the United States of America win.
Yeah.
Correct?
Yeah.
Football, the entire world watches football every Monday, Thursday, Sunday. So they're celebrating that more often, not just when the Olympics come around.
Right.
Right. But when it came to the monetary aspect, my coach at the time, my position coach, Coach Henry Mason at the University of Wisconsin.
Yeah.
Stud. I love that guy. He taught us so much, not only as players, but as men. But we're in a meeting once, and we had these competitions in practice at the University of Wisconsin, offense versus defense, right? And when we're engaging in these friendly contests in practice, the competition is what made us stronger. The competition is what made us better. So we were getting trounced by the defense that day in practice. I mean, we were getting it handed to us. We had a solid defense. And yeah. It's just like we couldn't make plays on offense. And so, you know, at some point in the practice, I run, I think it was a stutter and go, or an out and up, and I just beat this DB. And I think it might have been John Stocko at the time. He launches this ball out, and I'm looking overthrown for a minute, but, you know, I got the wheels, so I'm running it down. I'm running it down, right? But it still looks like it's overthrown, so I lay out for this ball, and I'm parallel to the ground, and I catch this bad boy, and that gives us a boost in practice, and it's like, okay. And, you know, it's about time we had something to shut the defense up because they've been giving it to us all day, right? I made that play, and at the time, I had some torn ligaments in my thumb. So I had a little cast on, this makeshift cast, but by all means, it was an obstruction. I still make this play. I catch this ball, and we're watching it in receiver meeting. Coach Henry Mason keeps rewinding. That's one thing that he did. You knew you messed up if he didn't say nothing because he sits behind you and he just got the clicker and he's just rewinding it. And everybody knows the play, whether it's the game or practice. He's just rewinding
when
it.
That's coming.
And he doesn't say nothing, but he's staring right at you and you just know it. You're not looking at him. He's staring at it. He's just rewinding it. So everybody's like, oh, crap. Or they're like, okay. So he rewinds it. He rewinds it. He's like, hey, I still haven't figured out yet if you're a track athlete trying to play football or – if you're a football player who also does track.
Yeah.
And many might not understand where that comes from because there comes a certain level of toughness and tenacity that comes with being a football player.
Yeah.
And if you could be that and still go out there and perform in track and field, that's great. But if you're a track athlete that just wants to go out there and play football, are you frail, fragile?
We've seen plenty of, especially the wide receiver position, we've seen plenty of track and field guys who go and play in the NFL and absolutely get crushed, and they're like, all right, I'm giving up. I don't want to play football no more.
They're done. Yeah. And so he was like, hey, I don't know if that's what you are, but I look at this play. That's a big-time play. That's the type of play that people make on Sundays. That's the type of play that we need for people to make here on Saturday.
Yeah.
That's what's going to make your name. That's going to solidify you. And if you can make that play, not just once, not just twice, but if you can make it consistently, that's what we want. And so he asked, I got to ask you this. How serious are you about this?
Yeah.
And so I'm like, what do you mean, coach? I'm here every day. He's like, how much money are you going to make per, you know, meet that you win? Gold medal that you win when you come up first place. And I was like, I really don't understand the dynamics on how they get paid with regards to that. However, I know that they get sponsorships, Nike, Reebok, all of those people, they sponsor them, and that's how they get their money. You know, they get the commercials and all that stuff. He's like, okay, now how much money do you think you'll make making plays like that?
Yeah, on Sunday.
On Sunday. Yeah. And so I sat back and I'm like, good question, coach. Good question, coach. He's like, that's something I got to think about. But at that point, I had become so fond of the level of intensity. Not only that, but the atmosphere playing in front of, when I first got there, it was 85,000. But the stadium got renovated. I mean, it got upwards of 90-something thousand people at Camp Randall. I loved it.
Yeah.
How difficult was it to bounce around from the Bills and the Browns and then your allegiance? Is it? For an NFL player, how difficult is that?
It's very difficult.
I'd imagine.
So even more so now, people like, hey, do you like NFL more or do you like college more? I tell them straight up, quite frankly, I love college. I watch college football all day. I could watch it every day of the week if I wanted to, because I just know the special, you know, brotherhood and camaraderie that those players share with each other. Yep. The fact that they have a shared goal. There's no hidden agendas. Yep. Now, NFL, they ask, okay, hey, who's your favorite team? I know you play for the Browns, the Raiders, the Bills. You know, who's your favorite team? You know, do you have allegiance to them still? And I'm like, you know what, man? It's one of those things where you grow up and you don't really understand what you're getting into, because you see it and you, it's very rare that one player gets to stay with one team their entire career. It's more common for players to bounce around. So I like to call it, we're mercenaries, pretty much. As an NFL player, you're mercenaries. You go to the highest bidder. You know,
then you got guys like Fitzpatrick. He's playing one. I've lost a lot of teams. What, 12 teams?
Yeah.
But, and he's good.
He's very good. He went to Harvard. Come on, Ivy League quarterback. They don't produce players, man. That guy was one of the best players that I played with. When
you
I played with him in Buffalo.
Fitzmagic.
Yeah, that came out when he was in Buffalo.
So I do want to talk a little bit more about some other things, like your favorite corners, and you know, a little bit more about our influences coming up with Vincent Jackson. But we're going to take a quick break here. That's going to do it for Under the Hood.
All right, you're listening to Pat and Go on KPPF.